So I keep everything. I keep everything. All down through the years, I've kept everything. My heart got seriously broken. Seriously broken. One night, when we were living over on Burkhart, I had just preached out of town, and I had all my sermons for evangelizing just in a briefcase there and a little bag, a little leather bag. And I was so tired when I finally rolled into the house until I just pulled into the driveway and parked, turned it off and went in the house. I left everything in the truck. I thought I'll get it out tomorrow. And when tomorrow came, everything in my truck was stolen and it was gone. And I have never gotten it back. But I keep everything. And I either keep it locked up or it's in my house or it's in my office now. But I came across a message that I preached at Landmark entitled "The Search for Titus." And I thought, oh man, I remember that. And as I read it, it just kept hammering on my heart. And it was as if the Lord said, that's why I wanted you to see it. You need it tonight. And so I want to share it with you. So here's what we're going to do. Because when I preached this, it was Sunday night, 1990. And I preached and taught back then just like I do now, like the house is full, because I've always expected it to get that way. And so if I could preach to these people right here, not because you're young people, but because you're guilty of my calamity and I need your help. The first three rows is about how many people I was preaching to that night. And so can I take everybody back a little ways and share with you what I shared with? We had our little church on Thomason Street. It was before we put the murals in the window. Some of you never even been there. And I just couldn't take the... It had nine rows of short pews on this side. Nine rows of short pews on this side. And they were burgundy. And there was an opening on each side of the sanctuary. A little cubby on each side. That we eventually had to put pews in there too for the crowd. But not right then. And so those were prayer rooms. The men on one side and the ladies on the other side. And most every service, we'd just go in there and fill those places up with two people at least. And we'd have prayer before service. And then we'd come out and preach. And there were just empty pews everywhere and all that. But we would preach. And so a lot of you were not there with us. And so I want to take you back. And if you'll let me, I don't want to change anything. As simple as it was, I'm going to keep it that way. And I want to share with you. And you will get the point before it's done. You'll understand before it's over with tonight what I'm getting at. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, this is Paul, he said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened. It's like one of those things that happens at Landmark so often, you know, that great things begin to happen. Doors open. The Lord begins to pour it out and do wonderful things. And so he said, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. The Lord opened a door. And he said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. Here's what Paul had to do. He said, I took my leave of them and I went from there into Macedonia. Paul could not stay and work because he didn't have Titus to help him. He didn't have enough help. And so he took leave. Rather than do a job that was not sufficient, or rather than try to meet the needs of this massive open door and be a disappointment to the people and to God, Paul took leave of them and went from there to Macedonia. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. He was exhausted from the last place he's been. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within there was fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of who? Titus finally got there, and they were comforted. When Titus got there, they gave the comfort and the glory to God. But it didn't come until Titus got there. And so, let me just talk to you for a little while. And I'm going to do my best just to talk about it, because that's what needs to be done. And that is the search for Titus. Amen. Let's pray about it. Holy Ghost, we love you. We lift you. And we'll pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move on all 12 of these people here tonight, that you would bless them, strengthen them, help them, move on them. Lord, we praise you for three rows of people that are here this evening. And we ask you, Lord, to move on them, lead them, guide them, all of us here tonight together this Sunday night. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. I know you think I'm off my gourd, but you'll see. God bless you as you're seated. Amen. It's 1990. It's our very first year in Lexington. We arrived in the month of April, and Easter was right around the corner. And so we just couldn't give it very much for that particular Easter. And I found out something very quick about Lexington, because when I came to Lexington, I knew absolutely nothing about it. I didn't know what people made hourly. I didn't know the ratios of anything. I didn't know the numbers of anything. I didn't even know how many people were in the city or in the county. All I knew is that when I was preaching in Greenville, North Carolina, and Brother Huntley called me that evening, and he said, Brother Marshburn, he said, Lexington, North Carolina just opened up. Are you interested? And it was as if someone, and it's the only way I can describe it, it's as if someone stepped on an electronic doormat, and the door just opened, wide open. I said, Brother Huntley, my wife and I will go to Lexington. I said, give me a while to square off all the engagements that we have, and to preach in different places, and what I wound up having to do in our evangelism ministry is that, because it started the first week we started evangelizing, we would schedule, sometimes we'd only schedule one night to be there at a church for one night, and that one night could turn into 6 or 8 weeks, and it was hard to schedule each place precisely, because they would put things in newspaper, they would do radio ads, and they would do different things, and a lot of times revivals would go so long until we couldn't get there on time, and so the newspaper ads and all that, the money was wasted on that. And so I had to begin to tell them that when we get to your church, we will stay as long as God wants us there. And that's what we did. And so many times, we came to North Carolina, I didn't know anybody in North Carolina. I didn't get in church in North. I'm from North Carolina, but I got in church in Jacksonville, Florida, and I didn't know anybody. When we were preaching, we came to North Carolina to visit family and talk to them about the Lord, try to win some of them. None of my family was in the church, and so we came to a camp meeting, and out of that camp meeting, a home missionary took us to preach for him because he was in my hometown, and we were going to invite family and all that. And from that one meeting in that home missions church, we wound up staying in North Carolina the first time for 19 months, and we never had a weekend off. And then I told my wife, I said, we've got to get out of here. There's other places we've got to preach and go. And so we did. And then a few months later, we wound up right back in North Carolina. And that time, it was over 24 months or so and all of that. And so, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing what God done. So when Brother Huntley called about Lexington, we just knew it. And we went. We came. And so, but there's the first, one of the first things I learned is that Lexington is a clock in and clock out town. Everybody clocks in, everybody clocks out. And another thing that I found out is that shortly after that is that if I didn't preach about it and teach about it, Brother Mike, that's what they would do at Landmark. They clock in on Sunday morning and clock out after service, and you wouldn't see them again until next Sunday morning when they clocked in and when they clocked out. And just as one of our cohorts here at Landmark would say, and stuff and everything and all like that and all. And so that's what they people would do. And so I come to the pulpit that night, and I began to preach about the search for Titus. And so I said, the Spirit is telling the church to shake herself like Samson. Samson, the enemy is upon you. The Philistines are upon you, and you need to just get up and shake yourself. And I was speaking to just you folks, just you 12 folks, and I was preaching that because, and then I began to preach about how the Philistines are spirits that can jam you up. And there's something we need to understand about spirits. Not all spirits are bad. Not all of them are good. They just hang out in the gray area. And gray areas are okay if we don't get addicted to them. You see what I'm saying? Amusement parks, basketball games, football games, all this kind of entertainment, you know, the lake, the mountains, the Caribbean, cruises, all hunting. Let me put myself in there. Hunting and fishing and golf and tennis and all these things are gray areas, you know. I mean, you can do those things. They're not going to enhance your walk with God, but they're not going to take anything away from your walk with God as long as we can do those things in moderation. Am I clear? And so I'm telling them that, you know, we can do those things, but we cannot let those things be more important than what we do for God. And we can't let those things be more important than the church of God, serving God, being in the house of God, and attendance. And you know I preached about attendance when there was hardly anybody there. The people that were there were precious. We still have several of them even now. But we wanted to fill up a house, and that's what God did. But we were preaching about attendance and being faithful to the house of God and not getting addicted to the gray areas. Amen. God is not impressed about how much we go to Disney World. He's not impressed about how well I play golf or how long I can shoot a deer rifle, how far I can go out and hit the target. Listen, He's not impressed with that. But if that becomes what is so valuable to us, until it doesn't bother us to miss a lot of church, it doesn't bother us to do whatever, if it comes up, we go for it and don't have a second thought about it. I was preaching, we've got to come out of this clock in, clock out with God mode and understand we may clock in and clock out there, but we're living for God 24/7. And when the door of the church is open, then we should be there. Everybody say amen. Since those days, we've had cancers healed. We've had people come out of comas. You can name it. A number of things. But still yet, the greatest miracle of all was a chunk of carpet. Because we hadn't been there long, and the last pastor was a hoarder. Sanctuary was gorgeous, but man, the moment you stepped downstairs and went down the hallway and looked in classrooms, you couldn't hardly get anybody in there because the stuff they used didn't go anywhere. It was there, and it accumulated. Furniture accumulated, desk accumulated, books accumulated, this accumulated, that, and it was all full. And so we just started loading up trucks. I said, folks, let's clean this out and get it ready for a lot of people. Some of those people had been there since the 70s. And when I would say things like that, they were just like, we got a knucklehead this time for a pastor because they'd already gone through a bunch of pastors. And so here I was saying, let's make room for a lot of people. And so then we went into the Sunday school classes and we started taking out stuff, putting it on a truck and a trailer and hauling it off to the dump, just getting rid of it, clearing up the attic. Or the basement, so we can have Sunday school and all that good stuff. And so we started hauling that off. Well, I noticed the front steps, they would paint the hallways with that navy gray, real slick oil paint. It was beautiful and it was easy to clean. I liked it. But the front steps of the entrance of the church was painted with that too. And when it would rain, they would be real slick. On our first trip, we loaded everything. We drove by the front of the church, and I looked at the steps, and I said, Lord, when I say we didn't have any money, hear me. We did not have any money. And so I looked at those steps, and I said, Lord, I said it just like that. I said, Lord, a big piece of that green outdoor carpet would be perfect for those steps. Because we had a couple of elderly folks, and it would have been so sad if those steps would have been slick one day in the winter or rain or whatever, and they would slide down. And I was thinking about that, and I thought it would be so nice and if we had a roll of that outdoor green carpet. And so we went our way. We went to the dump. We stopped by and paid the lady and weighed everything and went in, and we passed by a lone dumpster that was right there on the path going in. And lo and behold, not in the dumpster, but laying across the dumpster so one could see it as they were driving by, was a brand new roll of green outdoor carpet. I started crying. I said, you're with us, aren't you? You are with us. And I never doubted God a day after that while I've been in Lexington. That's why I've had some of you come to me and say, why aren't you ever sad? You're never sad. We've never seen you sad. You're always... Because the Lord showed me that day, as simple as it was, that he was with us. So, did I think about getting the carpet? No, I never thought about getting it. I just went and got it. I put it in the truck, and we took it, and we put it on the steps, and no one ever slid down. But God gave me a word that day. I'm with you, always, even to the end of the world. And so, did I preach about the carpet? I preached about the carpet all across the nation. Amen. And so, there it was. Clock in, at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, clock out before 11:30. And we still do if I'm preaching. Praise God. And so I don't know. And then I began to speak and I said, I need Titus. I need Titus. That's what I need. And I said, I need someone that can help me reach this city because I cannot do it by myself. Amen. And people begin to rally. And I said, we're in an attendance drive. And I don't remember what the attendance drive was. It may have been Easter, the second Easter we were there because we had time to push for it. And I said, we're in an attendance drive. Are you going to wait and watch someone else fill their cars up with children or adults? Or are you Titus? And you finally made it to where you need to be in that spirit realm with God and the church. I'm just giving you the words. We went into the hole financially this month because we had so many preachers. I guess I had guest speakers coming through and preaching. And I said, they're pros in their field of labor. And I said, we had 10 or 12 people Tuesday night. We had 13 Saturday night. My wife called several people afterwards to find out how they were doing, and several of them told her they just simply forgot. Somebody say, that's not Titus. If you're a leader, this is what I said. If you're a leader, this is 1990. If you're a leader in this church, call me. Get a hold of somebody to let me know what's happening. I'm tired of guessing games. I didn't want to guess if they'd had a wreck, or I didn't want to guess because I knew they wanted to be at church, and then when they weren't, it made me nervous. And so, then I said, you wouldn't be a leader if we didn't need you, and if you didn't have the goods to be a leader. And this is what I began to preach. I said, I see an army. I see a lineup of soldiers. But some of us, our attention is detoured. And our vision is blurred. And then I said, you are Titus. You are our help. Amen. And then I began to reminisce about different preachers in my life and people in my life that inspired me. And I spoke of Steve Muncy when he would preach for us. He would preach for our pastor. And he so inspired me in his preaching. I don't know. I guess we had that same kind of personality or what it was. And he so inspired me. And I never forgot. I would listen to his sermons. I would listen to him preach over and over and over. And then there was Michael Harris. He was a young black man in Texas that we became best friends, and he was so wanting to preach the gospel. He just wasn't quite there yet, and he and his wife would clean a bowling alley all the time. That's what their job was, and they'd go late at night, and sometimes my wife and I would go with them, and we'd have fun helping them clean the bowling alley, and we would talk about the ministry, and he eventually. He went out and he got it done. But before he went into the ministry, he was so crazy about God, and he inspired me. When he told me when he was still in high school that he would go to school early, and he had a real early, and he had a reason for that. And he said by the time the principal and all the staff showed up before the kids got there, he had a big banner across the front of the school. Acts chapter 2 verse 38, you must obey it. In front of the school. Yeah, he got in a lot of trouble over that. But he did it. And that just did something to me. It's out of the normal. It's out of the usual. It's out of the ordinary. And I'm just, and I was trying to preach to you guys in 1990 that if you're going to do anything great for God, you got to step out and away from the ordinary. You got to step out and away from the usual. You got to be something more than a routine every single day. And find it. And be successful. Go at it until you get good at it and let God use you. Amen. Whatever it is. And so I just was trying to impress them with that. And I told them of Mickey Godare. When Brother and Sister Godare found out that we were coming to Lexington, and I asked him, I said, what do you guys think? What's the first thing I should do? I've never pastored before. I don't know what to do. And so before Brother Johnny Godare could say anything, Mickey Godare spoke up. She said, Brother Washburn, you go into that city and you preach like the house is on fire. She said, you shout, you dance, you sing it, you reach out, you knock on doors, you walk up and down the streets, you push Carson in a stroller, and you knock on doors, and you win souls, and you have revival. That's what you do. I never forgot it. I never forgot it. Amen. When I came to Lexington, that's what I did. I went out. Amen. First people we won were, I'm just going to call them ravens because the Bible speaks of ravens that came. That's that dirty bird, that nasty bird that came and fed the prophet and brought him food and all of that. I didn't realize they were ravens. I mean, I just went in, taught them Bible study and all of that. They were with us for a good while. We were living in a little camper trailer right beside the church. They lived in an apartment right down the street from the church because that's the first place we started knocking on doors. And so they were coming. We taught Bible study and all that. One day I went to teach Bible study and they were gone. They were just gone. The apartment was empty, and I was so troubled by it, I knocked on the door, and the neighbor said, I asked the neighbor, I said, where are these guys at? He said, oh, man, they took off. I said, took off. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, they've been running for the law from the law for years. I said, really? He said, yeah, they were getting close to him, and so they took off again. He and his wife, he worked at a very prestigious restaurant in High Point, and we ate steak all the time. We had filet mignon. We had it all. It was hot when they brought it to us, and all, it was free. I mean, we're eating like kings in our camper, and it was free. And so the Lord sent the ravens to feed us for a while. And it was just on and on and on. And so I just went in there to do what these people inspired me to do. Amen. Listen, I told them, I said, Paul was a great man of God, but he could not make it work in that particular city without Titus. Where's Titus? That's what I was saying to the congregation. Where's Titus? Where is Titus? This is a wonderful opportunity, but I need Titus. The doors opened at Troas, but where was Titus? And Lexington, I said, is a wonderful opportunity to present a church to God. A lot of people want to preach. A lot of people want stuff. They want blessings. Of course, they want position or whatever. But who wants to reach? Just simply reach. Amen. And here's how many people were there that night. They were there Sunday morning. 62 people were there that morning. And I said, almost double our last year's Easter attendance. And then I put in big bold letters, praise God. Amen. And then I said, but don't clock out. Don't clock out. Because we're celebrating a victory. Amen. And I said, The doors are open in Lexington, but where is Titus? I didn't give this to the guys, but if you could help me find Acts chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. 16 verses 7 through 9. Amen. We need Titus. That's what I was preaching. We need Titus. We need Titus to wake up, to become aware, amen, and understand that I didn't come to the city for people to be impressed by me. I didn't come to Lexington. My wife didn't come with me for the city to be impressed by her. Amen. And but we came to impress the city with a move of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And listen, folks, when we first came to Lexington, this is what I did. Amen. I vowed to God. I said, Lord, I said, I'm not like everybody else, and everybody else is not like me. And I'm not condemning any other person for the way they did anything they done to begin or start a church or what have you. I'm just talking about me. But I vowed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not going to take a job. I'm going to hook the water hose up to my camper because my camper was paid for it. And don't get googly-eyed because the trimming had already blown off from the wind. We had already had four blowouts on the tires, and it was in bad shape, but it was paid for. And we ran the phone line and hooked it up. And so the only thing we had was a $900 a month payment for the church. But the doors continued to open, and I continued to preach out. Thus, the reason we have church on Tuesday night, because in the early days, I could preach out Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and be back for Saturday and Sunday. And the Lord opened doors, and I could still be doing that. But there came a cutoff time to where I finally told the Lord, I am here to build a church to impress you with a church from Lexington and not with a ministry that travels all over the country. I don't want to impress you with that. I want to impress you with a church. I want to impress you with something that the gates of hell cannot prevail against in the last days. And God, I believe, has honored that. Amen. He has honored that. And so Acts 16, verses 7 through 9, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, no. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm telling, and this is what I was telling the church, I believe Paul was inspired by the word help. When he was asked to help in Macedonia, he left Troas because he had no help. And his thinking was, if no help is going to come to me, then I'm going to go help someone else. And that's what he did. And there is where Titus finally united with him. And they had great move of God. Amen. Paul was inspired by the word help. Paul came, they said Paul came to help us. And because no one person can do it all. Amen. And I'm not saying do it for us. But what I was preaching to them is, let's do this together. Do it with us. Amen. Let's stand. And we've got our original people standing here. And because you guys towed the line with a made-up mind, I want you to take the time now and look around you. Look all around you. Look what the Lord has done. Look at the building he built. Amen. the third one. You see, we built one behind you. And then we built Fellowship Hall. And then we built this. And we're going to build another one. Look at the originals. They're going. Praise God. All of you that are all around can look right here and thank God for the heart and the mind and the soul of individuals that said, Pastor Marshburn, we don't really know what page you're on. We don't really comprehend what you're preaching and saying. We've been here since the 70s. Preachers have come and they have gone. We've been disappointed. We've been let down. We had one pastor, Brother Marshburn, that he came and pastored and left, came back, pastored again, and left again. But we'll be your Titus. We'll do this again. And I just feel like this was the time. The timing was right. And we came to Troas. Titus met us there. We didn't have to leave because help came. And look around. Now, if I could bring this message to today and ask if that many can cause this, what can all of us that become Titus, what can we cause? Amen? So I'm asking, and we won't be much longer, we won't linger much longer, but I'm asking, who will just come and join me and say, I'll be Titus? I'm already down here. I'm not giving up. I'm not shutting up and I'm not shutting down. But I've got my mind up. My mind is made up. I've got my foot on that rock. And I'm committed to be a Titus. And I'm here to help. It is by His Spirit, but He needs my hands. It is by His Spirit, but He needs my feet. It is by His Spirit, but He needs my voice. He needs my burden. He needs my passion. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know of a soul in this world that would really like to be like me, but I do know individuals that need to be just like Jesus. And so let's lead them to Jesus. Let's lead them to Jesus. Let's lead them to the Spirit of God. Let's lead them to the anointing. Amen. And so if you would join with me, and let's just lift our hands and let's ask the Lord to make us to be a Titus. Holy Ghost, we're rallying here at Troas. We've come together, Lord, and we're not leaving this city. Not until the work is done and the trumpet sounds and we hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I commit. I dedicate. I relegate my life, my heart, and my soul to the work of God. To the kingdom of God. To the house of God. Holy Ghost, right now. Right now.
Because you care.
Right now, right now.
I couldn't imagine.
Lord, inspire people.
If you
Jesus, challenge
there.
People. Move upon people.
Jesus,
touch them. Move on them. Strengthen them. Bless
because
them. Touch them. Holy Ghost, make us more. Make us more. Make us more.
If you
don't let us waste it. Don't let us cast it aside. Don't let us walk by it. Don't let us clock out. Holy Ghost, help us. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
You said to me from heart, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My strong tower, my dearest helpless
holy, holy, holy.
And it was you who made my life complete. 'Cause you are
Jesus.
To me, my everything.
Jesus.
And that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you. Because you care.
They heard the challenge. They rallied to the call. There was only a handful of us. We put a goal of 80 for Easter coming up in just a few weeks. We poured everything into it, and God blessed us with 85. My wife was practicing music at the church one day, and the front doors were open because it was hot outside. We only had window units, and we didn't want to run them all the time. The bill would be too high, and so the front doors were open. Kathy Wall was driving by, and she couldn't pass the church without stopping. Spirit of the Lord moved on her to step out and come in. She said, "What's going on?" My wife said, "We're starting a church." And she said, "I think I need to be a part of it." And they were. Brother Wall taught Carson how to play the drums. Carson would sit on his lap while he played the drums. And Carson got it. Another preacher was in the mall when Kathy and the Walls were in the mall, and he gave them big promises and said, "I want to make you this kind of pastor and do this and all this kind of stuff." And it worked, and they went. And if you notice, they've been coming back around. And I said, "Brother Wall, we cannot do this without y'all." And he said, "Well, Pastor, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised." I just don't want anybody left behind. And the only way that we can prevent that is to make up our mind that we're not going to clock out, but that we will be here until it, whatever God has for us is finished. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's have revival till Jesus comes. Amen. God bless you, Brother Titus. You may be dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hands. God bless you, and thank you for being church tonight.